Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello, I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
Welcome to a very, very special edition of the Scummy Mummies podcast. Where are we, Thorne?
We're in Nepal.
I know, mate. What are we doing here?
I don't know. It's lovely. We're very high up in the air.
Yes, we are. We're in quite a remote village. We had to travel by Jeep for about 14 hours, I think, to get
That's right. We took three planes.
Yes.
And I only wet myself about four times.
Yeah, so it's fine.
It's absolutely fine.
Yeah. So we've done loads of planes and loads of, we went to hike for about, well, it felt like 3 hours, probably,
well,
40 minutes.
If you did it, it would be 40 minutes. If I did it, it was an hour.
Well, you know. Anyway, here we are. And we're with first of all, we're with the lovely Achana, and you're going to translate for us, aren't you, Achana?
Yes, I'm going to translate for you.
Okay. Can you just explain who you are? Who do you work for?
I'm Achana, like you just said. I work for Practical Action, Nepal office. It's also South Asia's regional office. I'm based in Kathmandu, and we're working on a range of projects. And for today, we have arrived in this very special place in the midwestern region of Nepal. It's in Karnali region. So here we've been doing a couple of projects, and one of them is Gravity Goods Ropeway. So we are talking about the ropeway here.
So basically, the ropeway is to help the women of the village. So we're sitting here, we should say, in one of the women's homes. Thank you very much for having us. And the ropeway is basically a rope system, is that right? So they don't have to haul heavy stuff up and down the mountain.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. But not just the women, it's for the entire villagers to, you know, support them in reducing their drudgery. They have to carry the whole goods all the way down the hill, and you walk the hill.
I was just holding a backpack with a mobile phone in it, and it took me a long time, and it was very hard work, and I cannot imagine holding bags of rice and bottles of water.
You can imagine it, you just couldn't do it, mate.
I could not do it. No, these are all my heroes, these women. But the pulley system sounds like it will change lives.
Yeah, it is a game changer, certainly. And especially for the women, it's even worse, because it's the women who are actually who end up doing all the domestic works, including yes, of course. So eventually it's the women who are getting the benefit.
All right, well, let's get into it, shall we?
Yeah,
some of the ladies have agreed to talk to us. Can we start with you? What's your name?
Her name is Bilkosa Bohara. She comes from this village, which is Tilagufa Municipality, ward number 2.
So let's start with, we always say on our podcast, tell us about your family.
She's saying she only has one husband.
Oh, right. That's enough. That is enough.
Lucky her, you say.
She got married when she was 21, and she got her first son when she was 24. Yeah.
How many children does she have now?
She had her first son, and then there is also a twin daughter. So she has three children who are alive, but she had 12 children. and the rest of them, they passed away. And it was like a miscarriage every time, in 7 or 8 or 9 months every time. So she would miscarry all the time when she's working in the field, or, you know, because there was a lot of work. She says probably that's the reason why she could not hold the baby for longer.
I'm very sorry.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah. अनि ताले पछाडी अनि दुईटा छोरा छ भन्छ है तल 10 बिगामा
दे हैड अ कपल अफ चिल्ड्रन क्यूरेटेड इन द लास्ट वन्स एन्ड देन इभेन्चुअली शी गॉट हर क्यूटरस रिमूव्ड बट बिफोर दैट इट वुड कम आउट इन पीसेस.
Oh.
So and still now she has like piece of meat coming out in pieces. So that's sorry. Yeah, even today.
So what kind of work is it she was having to do while she was so heavily pregnant?
अनि त्यसै गरेर मैले यस्तै यो घर उठाउनु थियो.
हजुर.
अनि मङ्सिरमा छोरी भए म बाहिर भएको बच्चा.
हजुर.
मङ्सिरे कुसा दुई महिनादेखि फाल्न 4 महिनासम्म मेरो खुनले धारो भएको लागे. पछि त्यस्तै नपुगेन तर देशभाइ के
इन्डिया जानु
इन्डिया अनि एल्खै नआएको.
So there is this tradition of the male members going to India for labor migration, like we explained yesterday, we talked yesterday. So her husband was mostly out, not in home. And she had to take care of everything on her own, from the fields that she has down the hill. And she would carry huge load of woods for cooking. To manage the energy and, you know, to manage the children and to for the cattle, get the fodders. So it was really, she was heavily worked and it was a heavy load of work that she was doing. And you know, the household labor was so scarce that she had to start working on the 8th day of her delivery of her son in the field.
8 days after he was born,
after he
back
was
in the
born,
field.
Yeah, wow. Back in the field. Oh.
Yeah. So no time to heal,
no rest at all.
No. So when a baby is born in the village, who helps with the birth and who's here to help? Or where does the birth happen?
So the first son was born in the house. There was no service, not whatsoever.
No midwife.
No. Now she is the midwife. So there is this process of, you know, because she had so many
miscarriages.
So she went to Jumla and they put sort of a device that would hold the baby.
Wow.
So then she got her twins. But before that, she had a baby while working in the field. She was all alone. She gave birth in the field all by herself. And then it was dead. So she buried it and she came back home.
Oh my.
Oh.
Yeah.
So even today, they are still doing the same thing. They would work even on the delivery date. Until the delivery date, they're still working. So that's where she's expressing that they're really looking forward to this gravity goods ropeway, because after that they would not need to carry all the heavy goods downhill.
Yeah. So is it quite common then to lose babies because you're working so hard, and then also to have problems after the birth because you have to go straight back into it? Is that a big problem here in the village?
Because they are also saying it's especially challenging in this village because the land is not very fertile. And they have to do extra work in making the land fertile, so they have to carry fertilizers frequently. In the land which is fertile, it's not the fertile, you know, using the organic fertilizer over and over again, that's not the problem, but here they have to do it. So whatever they grow is only sufficient for like 6 months, not the whole year also.
Okay.
So that's the reason why they are overworked, because of the land's fertility. And they're also sharing that the men and women, they work equally.
Okay, so
the load is equally divided, but it's just that for women it's worse because she has to work irrespective of her pregnancy or so if they are if they are living in joint family with in-laws, then the then it's easy for the daughter-in-laws, because once they've got once they've delivered the baby, at least they get up to 15 days to rest, because the in-laws will take
15 whole days. Wow.
15 days.
Luxury.
that's the luxury.
Yeah.
If not, then there are record that they would start working on the fifth day.
Okay. Yeah. And do you take the babies with you? The babies strapped to you so they can
breastfeed? She's saying that in front they are carrying the baby, in the back they are carrying the load.
Okay. It's extraordinary. When will the ropeway be finished? When is it? When are you hoping to finish it?
1 month.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Will there be a party? Are you all going to cry?
We need to cut a little bit of the forest on the top so that there is no disturbance for the ropeway. So the work is really aggressively moving on. So we are expecting to, you know, we are expecting that that will come into operation in a month. So hopefully, yes, there will be a party.
We would love to hear about it. This is really, really, and I'm sure all the listeners back home, because I know our listeners, we have days where we come home, we're carrying bags of shopping, we've got, you know, buggies, but this is nothing, absolutely nothing compared to what these guys are doing every day. And, you know, in the UK, we're always told after having a baby, you must rest. And we have midwives who come to our house to check our vaginas, to make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
But nothing like we can imagine going back to work after 8 days.
Yeah. So it's totally the other way around here.
Yeah.
And it's also because there is no option. And she was previously she was also saying that it's hard to manage two square meals. So if they eat in the morning, they are not sure if they're gonna eat in the night. So there are those situations. So the thing that's more important is to feed so many mouths and themselves, than thinking about what's going to happen to their health.
Yeah.
So that was way too under prioritized.
Yeah.
But so will the ropeway make it easy to get access to food? Is
yes.
that the idea as well?
Yeah, that will make an access. And also if they grow something in the village, then they can also easily sell that in the market.
Yeah.
So economically as well as physically. Yeah. And I would say emotionally.
Emotionally,
as well.
Of course.
Yeah, that will have that kind of impact.
Yes.
Yeah. And what sort of, in terms of postnatal care, do they have in terms of, like, you know, obviously you bleed for a month after and all those sort of things. How are they looked after that way? Or is that not an option?
So they have a local way of...
local balance.
It's a very local concept, and it's traditionally how they've been practicing is. They think that helps, but I'm not pretty sure about that. They think if you fry the rice like in a lot of oil or ghee, which is clarified butter, and if you fry it with a couple of spices like cumin and coriander and salt, turmeric, and you eat it so flaming hot, just like that, then that helps. That's their tradition.
That's the postnatal care.
That's the only. That's the
right. Answer. I mean, it's worth a try.
I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah.
Will
I
it?
Mean,
is there any pain relief?
So the health post is not very close. It's 2 hours, two and a half hours on foot, so on the hills. So that's a reason also why they would not opt for medical consultation, because it takes a lot of time to just commute. And commuting is not that easy as well, especially when they're ill. It's not that easy to walk. So,
and presumably there's also sort of a lack of postnatal care for your mental well-being. For something like baby loss, like obviously that must be incredibly hard. How do you get through or how do you cope with something like that? when, like in the UK, we have things like counselling and yeah. health visitors, and I'm getting charities the feeling there's, yeah. that that's not so much a thing. So,
so she's saying that if the other girl had survived, she's just showing she would look like her. You know, she's just comparing it with her the situation. It would be nice to have her baby grown up like this. It would be nice to see the baby grow up and be someone like her.
Yeah,
that's what she's saying.
And what sort of support do mothers have for each other, like the women in the village? What does that mean to them to have this community to get through those difficult times?
So she's saying the trouble is everyone have their own, you know...
Everyone has their own problems, their own... By which I mean children.
They have their own children, they have their own cattle, they have their own fields and families to look after. So they try their best when they have time. Mm. But it's just that when the other one is having problem, they are having problem back at home themselves. Yeah. So that's what she was trying to explain.
Yeah. When Ellie and I get together and we share our complaints about our husbands, our complaints about our children, and sharing, like talking about it, is really important.
Yes.
And like just releasing that those difficulties is really important. Like, do they have a time where they get together and to talk?
They're saying that they don't literally sit and talk all day, but but they do talk when they are gone for, you know, collecting the fodder, or, you know, sometimes they have adjoining fields. So when they are talking, when they go to fetch water, so that's the time when they, you know, try to get along together and, you know, work and talk at the same time.
Yeah.
Sometimes when they're resting for a while, that's when all of the women, they gather and they bitch around.
Excellent. Yes. Yes. Nice. We like this. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're not just on Instagram all the time. That's good. What's a typical day in the life of a mum in this village like?
So their paddy fields are not here. It's way far in the next hills after hills.
So,
they're quite mobile. The lifestyle is very mobile. So they are here, but they have lands up in the hills also, so where you have to walk days to get there. So basically they do that because, you know, the weather in the summer here could be suitable, but in the winter it gets totally different. So
it gets snowy, doesn't it, you were saying?
So in the uphill it gets snowy. Yeah. So in the... in the summer it's fit, but in the winter they come down here. So even the cattle, they take uphill when it's summer, and when it's winter they bring it downhill, and they have paddy fields there. So they have, it's not just that they're working here, they have to be very mobile all their life.
Okay.
So when they have to trek to go to the uphills, they have to wake up like 3 in the morning. And generally when it's working season, they have working seasons, they wake up like 4 in the morning. And when it's really cold and it's not a lot of work, they wake up to 5 to 6 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, the rest of the day is full of work, from the kitchens to the fields. And in her case, she carries the baby, both the babies sometimes, and also the loads.
And do the... are all the families looking after the other children?
So she's saying that she has a lot of cattle. She has like 5 cows and oxes and 10 to 12 sheep, and also lands where they are growing food for themselves. So even though they have extended family, she lives with her in-laws, but they are busy with something. So everyone is occupied with something. So it's not, sometimes it's helpful when there is an emergency, but it's not, it's a part of your day is also with the children. So
yeah
you just have to be mentally prepared that everything is coming together, unless they are going to the school.
Yeah.
So can we talk about the children then? Because we come here and when we see your children in the village, they all look very well behaved and very quiet, and they just sit politely and
very nice children.
What's happening? And like our children are very noisy and they just run around wrecking things and being annoying. So are their children also troublemakers, or are they just pretending to be good children because we're here?
It's totally the other way around. So the children here, they don't get any chance to be naughty. Okay. They just have to work ever since they are 5 or 6. Mm. They are either going to rear the goats, or they go to collect firewoods, or children are also a part of the labor in the domestic labor.
Yeah.
So they just don't get the chance. So unless they are like really small, they could do whatever they could as a luxury. But once they are 5 or 6, they
put them to work.
They go to school.
Yes, I like this stuff. So when these wonderful women ask their children to put their shoes on, will they do it straight away? This is what I want to know.
Don't think they have shoes, mate.
That's about.
So
they would do it, but they have conditions applied.
Oh, so the children will say,
"Yeah, you give me this." Yes. Then I'll do it.
Oh, we know that one.
That's universal.
That works in the UK as well.
Yeah. So definitely. They would take the goats to the jungle, but they would want a packet of noodle or biscuit in exchange.
Biscuits are magical. Yeah. You can get your children to do most things with biscuits.
Yes.
So what's the hardest thing about being a mum here? Is it the climate? Is it the amount of physical work? Is it the husbands? What's the toughest thing?
She's answering the question. Her name is Kali Pohara, and she doesn't know how old she is. And even she didn't know how old she was, but she thinks she's 30, and she thinks she's probably 40, so just guessing. Mm-hmm. And she's saying that the most difficult part of the whole thing is the work itself, which is so much difficult to handle for themselves. Even though they're really used to it, she thinks that that's one reason that's making life really bad and difficult. And also another problem that she just shared is that in this society, sometimes if you give birth to few daughters in a row, you are forced to make son and you're forced to be pregnant. That's also one reason why, you know, they have, and you're forced to be pregnant, but there is no other support system for you to be, you know, to enable your pregnancy or give you that environment. Yeah. So that's also one reason what's contributing to this sort of issue. And also they were sharing why this gets really worse is because they are culturally very shy to share that they are observing this piece of meat coming out of their vaginas. So it's sort of a social taboo to talk about it. Mm. So they would not talk about it unless if it's like a very serious pain, or unless she thinks that now it's not, I'm not going to handle this anymore. So they would just endure that pain and they would not talk about it. And that's also one reason why it's not treated well on time.
Because people are very private.
Yeah.
And it's not accepted.
They're talking about something else.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
So she's saying, you know, she got the baby. It was a girl. And after, like, 15 days after getting the baby, her uterus came out, and she walked like that with the uterus out for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
In between her legs.
Oh gosh, that's really hard.
So it was and then within 3 years so they had sex.
Yeah.
And then she got pregnant again with the same uterus which was pushed inside.
Yeah.
Then when she got that baby, then it came out as a whole, and then she had to throw it.
Oh gosh! And was that through a medical procedure?
अनि त्यो पाठे गर्छ पछि चाहिँ हस्पिटल गएर काट्नु भयो कि
काट्नु भएन फेरि भित्र अनि फेरि अपरेसन गरेर भित्र बाँध्नु भयो
काम नै. So it's not 3 years, it's 8 years.
Right.
So the trouble was she got daughter, and they knew that if they go to the hospital with that condition, they would throw it away. So she had pressure from her father-in-law that you can't throw it because you want son. So that is the reason why they didn't allow her to go through the procedure, a medical procedure.
That's really hard.
So she kept on being pregnant with that condition, and she lost some two babies after that. And then since it was really, really hard for her, and eventually she went to the hospital, and she requested to keep, she won't have more babies.
Mm.
So they push it inside the uterus. Yeah. So then she got the son. And then she could finally get out of it in a medical procedure.
Hysterectomy.
Yeah. And again, was that due to overwork? What happened to her? Was that because she went back to work? Well, she was working when she was pregnant.
Before she said that she would work, she would carry everything with that being rubbed between her legs. One more problem is that, you know about this tradition called Chaupari?
No.
It's basically the women are left to stay in the outhouse. An outhouse is basically the cow shed. So they're considered sort of untouchables when they are on their period or right after they give birth. So they are completely isolated from the normal life or the, you know, normal luxury, basic amenities, whatever. So they are left to stay in the cow shed. So there is a lot of hygiene issues, and even it's not safe, safety-wise, and it's cold, and they're not given the normal diet. So that's also one reason why this problem is so big.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
And is there any thought that this tradition might change?
God knows. They are still practicing that, so she still has her menstruation every month, so she goes outside to stay for kati din basnu huncha. 3 days at least. So that's the tradition, but she wishes that her, you know, coming generations won't practice that.
Fingers crossed, mate.
I think you suffer enough with your period. If my husband put me in the cow shed, I would kill him.
I'd suffer.
I'd kick him in the testicles.
Because he wants 3 days of his life, I tell you.
It usually is for him anyway as well, but yes, it's I think it, I hope that this changes, because that's not okay.
त्यो पनि केही
समस्या भएर होला उहाँ पनि पेट बोक्दाखेरि काम गर्नु भएर हो कि
नाइ नाइ
तपाईले गरौ
बसेरै बसेरै
बसाएरै गर्नु भयो. So that's a very beautiful thing that she just said. She has a daughter-in-law, and her son is like 20, and he got married. So she sent her daughter-in-law to Surkhet Hospital, which is like a big city downhill. And she doesn't let her daughter-in-law work. And they're all saying in the same voice that she let her daughter-in-law sit and rest the whole time she was pregnant. And I think that is the sort of change she wants to see in the coming generation, and the way you treat your daughters and daughter-in-laws.
So she does not want
what she went through, that she, you know, her daughter-in-law go through the same thing.
Well, would you please tell everyone here, thank you so much for having us here and for being so honest with your stories. It's been amazing, hasn't it?
I feel very honoured that of the honesty, and also the stories that we've, I feel very privileged. Thank you.
Can I ask one more thing? Because I just want to say thank you, because everybody's sort of spoken, and I just want to say to thank you to everyone properly. Can we just go around the circle and all say our names, just our names, and then we can say a big thank you. So we'll start with
Helen,
Ellie.
Mero naam Kalpana Bara.
Mero naam Belkusha Bara.
Mero naam Kali Bara.
मेरो नाम छमकला बोहरा.
मेरो नाम लक्ष्मी बोहरा.
मेरो नाम पुष्पा बोहरा.
हिमला.
अर्चना.
Thank you all so much for coming on the Scummy Mummies podcast. Can we have a round of applause?
Yay! Hooray for women.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, here we are, Helen Thorne. We're in Kathmandu.
Oh, I could not be happier. It's been the most amazing week throughout Nepal, but I've just had a hot shower. Yes. And we're sitting down to have some lunch.
And it's been, yeah, it's quite a change because we have just spent the last 5 or 6 days on the road. We worked out we spent 50 hours. In that
all together, yes. I'm going to award medals to both the driver and our two amazing travel companions, Abby and Achana.
Yes, and we saw some amazing things. So we went to the west of Nepal, which is the most sort of least developed area.
Yeah.
We were told, and we went to some villages and we met some local women, as we've just heard, and finding out about their lives. And well, yeah, my mind is blown. How's yours?
Yeah, I think it's been an extraordinary experience, and also a kindly reminder about how lucky we all are in the UK and in the Western world, but also just how divine these women are. They work so hard, their lives are difficult, but they're full of joy and love, and I felt very lucky to meet them.
Yes, absolutely. So we were lucky enough to come here with the brilliant charity Practical Action, with Abby Wells and Achana Gurun, and they're with us now. So I thought, you know,
they just won't leave us alone, Ellie.
You would think after 50 hours they'd have had enough.
No, they want to hang out with me now because I haven't had a shower and I don't smell anymore. So yes. Now they're quite keen to hang out with me.
And you are not on a mountain road, so you are slightly more relaxed.
Yeah, that's right. My heart rate has gone down somewhat and I'm less likely to shit my pants, so that's good.
Good times.
Yeah.
All right, so why don't we start with you, Achana? For anyone who's maybe not heard of Practical Action, what is it?
Practical Action is a wonderful charity organization. We work for the development of countries who are living in poverty, different parts of the countries, and especially we work with interventions that are related to technologies, small-scale technologies, and the technologies that are appropriate to reduce poverty in so many different ways. So yes, we are working across the world. We work in the Latin America, we work in Africa, we work in Asia, especially South Asia, and we work in Nepal, where you are right now.
Yes, yes, and you're Nepali, so you're basically you've talked for us for 5 or 6 days and sorted out everything from our hotels to our beer, so that we're very grateful.
I tried.
Yeah. And can you tell us a bit more about the specific region we were visiting this week? What are the problems you're trying to address there?
So we visited the Karnali region, which lies in the midwestern part of the country. You know, the development is so tricky. You saw why, because the road is not there. It's in place, but it's not quite functioning everywhere, every part of the region. And, you know, culturally, it's practicing patriarchy. Yeah, culturally, it's practicing patriarchy, and, you know, there are a lot of challenges in those regions, and women are especially the focus area where we want to intervene. We are going to them with a lot of technologies that would help them reduce drudgery and empower them economically, and with technologies, of course, with small technologies and the technologies that are appropriate to improve their lives. Yes.
Yeah.
There are a lot of cultural norms and practices that's harmful to the women. Like Chowpuri, you came to realize that, you know, women are left to live in the sheds.
I know, it's not quite the aftercare that we are used to in the UK. And I think that's the biggest thing I'll take away, is just the stark inequality for women.
Because we saw the gravity goods ropeway, yeah, didn't we? Or the pulley thing, as you
the
call it.
The pulley thing, yeah.
So the idea of that is this right? So that it's kind of like basically a thing that pulls stuff up the mountain. Yeah. So the women, no longer when they're 9 months pregnant or 8 days after they've given birth, have to haul great sacks of rice up and down the mountain.
Yes, of course. And you saw the reason was full of treacherous areas where they had to walk.
Oh, Helen enjoyed the treachery. She loved the treachery.
She did.
Just call me Helen Hillary. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I found it difficult just walking up the mountain, and we were passed by women who were wearing practically flip-flops.
Yeah. You were in Bowdoin.
Yeah, I know. That's right. I was embarrassed. That's what I was. But one of the most impressive projects I saw along the road was the irrigation system. I mean, what was quite stark was when we were driving, it was very dry and you didn't see much vegetation. And then all of a sudden, where you saw the sign of practical action, you saw these lush fields, you saw people using the water systems.
Oh, yes. So we're working on improving people's lives, for especially the farmers. And you saw most of the males are migrating outside, so it's the women who are farming. It's simply the feminization of agriculture and feminization of poverty as well, which gets along. So the irrigation system is really helping women because, you know, they literally had to carry waters from the rivers or from the water sources, which are quite far from their homes. And if it's not even far, then they're at least in a very treacherous other side of their hills. It's really tricky for the women to do that, but they've done it the whole life. So it's really difficult. And I think the irrigation systems that we introduced 2 years ago in this region is really helping them a lot. We can see a lot of happy faces in those regions.
Yeah, well, we met some, didn't we? We met the lovely Rishma, who's got, I think, was seven children.
She had seven children and four grandchildren.
Three grandchildren.
No,
she's not excessive.
She was 45 and yes. Just an extraordinary woman. And she would explain, you know, she explained to us about how it took so long for her even to take up a bottle of, even to take up a bucket of water.
Yeah.
So with the irrigation systems in place, so there's a massive sort of well or tank built at the top of the mountain, and you see the water, what are they called? The water hoses going down into the fields. By doing that, they grow more crops and more easily, and that way they can get sort of more, economically independent.
Yes. Well, she was saying, yeah, she does sell the crops, but also it means she can give her kids fresh vegetables now, whereas before she could only give them stale ones because they take ages to come from the towns or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, that was one of the most amazing things for me, the fact that children eat vegetables. I mean,
And the other thing that struck us was, like, she could afford to send her children to school, mm-hmm. and that her son walked 2 hours each way to school up the mountain, which was just extraordinary. My kids whinge and they have to walk 7 minutes.
Yes. You know, I'm thinking of sending my kids out 2 hours early and just making them walk around the school for 2 hours just so they get a bit of
perspective. Just make them walk to Croydon, Ellie.
Yeah, why not? Well, if they're getting the Brits, you never know.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Abby, let's come to you because you work for Practical Action in the UK. And obviously, it all sounds brilliant, all these ropeways, pulley things, and irrigation and that. But it costs money, doesn't it? So, what do you need from people in the UK who've maybe heard about this and want to get involved?
Well, we'd love them to give us the money, ultimately.
I mean, I sort of, the answer's in the question, really, isn't it?
Money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's great if people can join us on our social media channels, come and have a look at our website, which is practicalaction.org. And we've got lots of events that people can get involved in, lots of appeals running, lots of campaigns. Something for everybody.
No, because we've got a link that we've put in the podcast notes.
Yes.
And that will give us a direct link to the work we've had a look at, and we've got our own page. Thanks for that.
You have, no problem.
Very jazzy. And what I like is there's different levels of giving that you can
absolutely
have a look at. So it goes from very, very affordable to very, very generous. So I don't know, have three glasses of wine and get your credit card out. That's what I do. That's what I'd recommend. That's
just do it.
That's when I do my best spending, actually, late at night.
Yeah.
After a few wines. Yes. Clickety click. It's not my expense.
So just do that. Instead of going on ASOS or Amazon, just go on Practical Action.
Yes.
You'll wake up and you'll feel less shit about yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, you'll be able to say, I am a good person.
I think that's the takeaway. Yes. #Hashtag good person.
I haven't just ordered four more pairs of shoes that are the same.
Yeah, exactly.
I am a good person.
That's all right. Yes, that's feel it. Smug. Give money.
Yes. That should be... You can have that, Abby. That could be the tagline. Feel smug. Give money.
Yeah. Can we ask you, because we've been asked a lot, why on earth did you choose us, absolute dicks, to bring to Nepal?
I'm not sure.
I think she's questioning her life choices now.
I think, as we've mentioned, as we've seen, so many of our projects affect women. And the Scummy Mummies audience is kind of perfect for us, you know. And it's the kind of people that we want, that we think perhaps aren't so aware of these kind of projects and development generally. So it's great for us to be able to talk to them, and they seem to be enjoying what we're doing. And you've been quite fun. I mean, you've made the car journeys more entertaining than
What you want to do is stare at a 40-year-old woman hanging on for dear life. Abby said I meowed. I mean, not sexually, but just like in a I whimpered, I think.
Yes. One of them visibly inwardly screaming. Yeah. Well, the other one just drinks lager and sleeps.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everyone's dream, isn't it?
One of the things I've learned, you know, apart from poverty in Nepal, is that Elliot Gibson can sleep in the most amazing places.
I know. And pee. I can sleep and pee anywhere. It's a life skill.
She peed on a cliff edge in a hailstorm and still came back smiling.
And lightning.
All I'm saying, you'd be great in a war.
I've never felt so alive, I'm telling you. It's very intense.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's probably about it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I just want to say thank you to Practical Action. This has been the most extraordinary week. I felt very lucky to be here, but also it's been an absolute joy to hang out with these exceptional women, Achana and Abby, and the very patient and wonderful Harry, our driver.
Harry's not here, sadly. He has gone home to lie down in a darkened room
and have a
probably
party
several years just to get over the fact that he's not having to drive these fucking twats around the country anymore.
God. And we've covered, I mean, what I've loved, you know, for the 12 hours of driving most days that we've done is the chats. Yeah. I mean, you've discovered that I like crowded house, which is always a bonus.
That was a good hour. Passed that hour. That was good. Yeah,
we've done wheeze and poos in the most remarkable places.
Again, another highlight for you.
I think so. I've learnt that I can wee on target, so I feel like I've upskilled.
And a week ago, you couldn't pee in the sea. Look at you now.
No.
You're peeing on hills. You're peeing in squat toilets.
I know.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you, Ellie. I'm very proud of you. Everyone's been very kind to me. I felt like the difficult aunt that you've taken on holiday.
No, you're like the crazy.
And thank you so much for being such troopers. No diva demands, you know.
All we need is potatoes and beer.
You say that, yes. We're in Kathmandu now. Champagne! No, thank you so much for having us. It's been amazing. Thank you very much, Abby, for inviting us in the first place and, you know, tolerating our incessant fucking chat.
I know.
Which I'm sure must be annoying. And thank you, Achana, because you've basically been our mum for like a week.
Yeah.
You've just sorted out everything. We're just so grateful to have you. And please, will you come back to England with us and just manage all of our lives forever?
To be honest, it was an honour for us. And I think the whole Nepal to get you here and feel like home. And come back whenever you want, and you know we're really very happy to have you.
Oh,
well, we would love to, but seriously, can you come home and get my kids to put their shoes on? Because I feel like I could do anything. I feel like you're a wonderful
witch.
Woman. So yes, go and check out practicalaction.org, and yes, thank you again to the amazing women that you heard speaking earlier in the podcast. Sitting in this little hut with those ladies was, you know,
and also what I liked about it is we were sitting around talking about our fannies and how much we kind of hate our husbands, which bonds us all.
Yeah, if only Dr. Ranch had been there as well, it would have been the perfect podcast.
Let's bring him next time.
Oh my god. That's genius.
Done.
Done.
I just had a mini orgasm.
Yes.
But maybe the gin.
I just had a massive one. here comes lunch.
Okay, all right.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
She wants to ask you a question.
Okay, please. Yes.
We love talking about ourselves. So
that's our favourite thing to do.
Ajuko naam bhanna ta?
Mero naam Lakshmi Bahara.
Lakshmi Bahara is asking you the question. She wants to ask you a very technical question on her thyroid.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, does she know we are not doctors and know absolutely nothing about any medical
issues. I just want to listen to her question anyway.
Give it a try.
I'm, please say, I'm sorry that we can't help. And if we could, we would. But yes. Really, we're idiots. Yeah. So we're not the people to ask.
Because we are talking about uterus prolapse, you thought maybe you have idea about thyroid.
Yes. No, sadly, we're just idiots.
We dressed up. I was going to show them a picture of us.
We explained that we're comedians. We and on stage, we sing songs and we do jokes about being a mum. And we dress up in these special cat suits that we call twat suits, and we basically dress up as vaginas.
This is us dressed as doing our comedy. So the costumes we are wearing are big vaginas.
Do they think it's funny? Is it funny?
They didn't understand that.
All right, you can pass it around.
You are na, you maila ko gopya anga ko just to luga lagai ko dekhe, just to line luga mana lagai ko.
Oh, we're getting a laugh. It was worth coming here.
Our work here is done.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.